Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Holy God, we want so much. We want so much to hear from you. We want our minds uncluttered of everything but what you have to say to us. That our hearts and our minds would be so set on you that nothing else could distract or hinder or weaken what you have to say to your church this morning. And Lord, you have called me to speak words. But words can only say so much. I pray, Holy Spirit, you fill in those gaps, those less than optimum statements made by me. If I miss something, you can fill it in. You can add what is lacking. And if I say what ought not to have been said, you can delete that which is not necessary and maybe even wrong to say. Lord, I pray ultimately, absolutely, that we would get this right. That our church would be the church. That we would indeed be the hands of Christ extended, the feet of the Lord, beautiful feet, walking to those places, going where you would have us to go. As we sang, we decided to follow you. We ought to follow you. Lord God, help us to weigh every word carefully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My goodness. I've been thinking a lot about words, just words. I mean, that's all we got. That's all we've got. I mean, I think it's pretty fortunate those who know many languages. I think that just expands your ability to describe things, to take pictures and concepts and ideas, information, directions, whatever it be, and put it into words. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm glad for words. I am so glad for them. Can you imagine if there were no words? I'd imagine that where there were no words, that would be the first thing they'd invent. Because before you can tell anybody else how to do something or explain your emotions to someone else, you need words. I mean, I suppose not always. If you're really, really angry with somebody, you could, I suppose, take a club and hit them on the head. I mean, that would express something too. Or you could just run over and give them a big hug and we'd get that. And you know the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Yeah. But then we also know that there's another saying that actions speak louder than words. But what about the pen is mightier than the sword? Those are all great sayings about words put to words. We wouldn't even be able to say the pen is mightier than the sword if it wasn't for the words that help us to say the pen is mightier than the sword. You get what I mean? I'm not like most men, maybe. I like directions. Not when I'm driving. I hate GPS. GPS is so flawed. It is ridiculous. You'll end up somewhere else half the time. I know where I'm going. And if I don't, at least I'm going for a drive. You know, I mean, you know, enjoy yourself, you know. What do they say? The journey, it's the journey, not the destination. Well, sometimes it's a long journey. But I like directions. I like instructions. Quite frankly, I appreciate that when I got my grandbaby's new playset, it came with directions. Yeah, there were pictures, but they were terrible pictures. I mean, what is that? Oh, I'm holding up. No, I'm not. Okay, what? You know, I appreciated, take piece number 157B and attach it to 162L. Making sure that these two bumps are on the side facing you and going to the left. I was so appreciative, and I'm just, come on. And then I look at the, it's that thick, this directions, and I'm okay, I'm on step 3 of 219. You know, this is going to be a while. And it took me 2 days, but I followed those directions. Instructions are so important, and if I didn't have them, I couldn't have built that thing. I could not have built that thing. I can assure you. I could have built something, but it wouldn't have been that thing. It wouldn't have looked like the picture, and I would have had a lot of extra parts. You know that's true, right? Aren't you glad? I mean, do you remember, fellas, when we used to make models, model cars and stuff? Ridiculous. There was 1,000 parts, and they were so tiny. A shifter knob, for goodness sake, to glue, I can't, you know. But you had directions and arrows and A to Z, but if you didn't have them, you know it wouldn't have gone as well. So we are glad for words, amen? Amen, amen. And the Word of God has so much to say about our words. 2 weeks ago, I began sharing with you the 10 commandments of the tongue. I mean, the tongue is blamed on, gets the blame for our words. But really, is it our tongue? You know what I'm saying. It's not like this tongue isn't just doing whatever it wants. It gets its directions mostly from here. Yeah? Sometimes from your big toe, I suppose. But it does go through the brain. You know, like if you dropped a heavy weight on your foot, your tongue would go, ow! But it had to still travel up to here to get to there, you know what I'm saying. So the tongue gets a bad rap. It's the mind. It's the mind. So we can read together, going back, just a little refresher, James chapter 3, verse 2 through 9. I think that's on projection for us as well. Very good, very good. And if I remember rightly, it's in the King James Version, the New King James, no vowels and such, but beautiful, beautiful. I love the King James. Reading from James 3, verse 2. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. So that means everybody stumbles in word. You got that? There is no perfect man but Jesus. That means everything that Jesus said was correct, by the way. Every promise stated was absolutely true. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Now, it could also be that when we say stumble in word, the word of God, if anyone stumbles does not stumble in the word of God, he's a perfect man. Absolutely. We can say that as well. Both are true. But this is about the tongue. It's about the untamable tongue. So I'm going to suggest that this is very specifically about the words we speak out of our thoughts. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Wow. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Well, look also at ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a whole world of iniquity. Isn't that powerful? Please get that. Isn't that powerful? This little spark could start a whole forest ablaze. And that's what James is saying. A word can start a forest ablaze. A word. That was weird. Is that coming out of the mic, out of this thing? Or is probably one of the other mics picking me up? See how great that is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. I mean, that's the whole world. And it is set on fire by hell. Oh, James, that's pretty heavy. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of poison. With it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men. James just used some words. And what words? My goodness. He really, really wants to get this point across. That we have to weigh our words carefully. I expect he did. And then he said this, and then he wrote this, and then he preached this, and it was sent to all the churches, and it was for everybody. And it was for everybody from then even till now and going forward. This is huge. This is important. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. I think we need to take this super, super seriously and weigh every word. I mean, could you imagine taking what we just read here as a study? I think we should not imagine it. We should probably do it because there it is. And it's not like he wrote this just for this church. He wrote it for everyone. Please don't take it personally, but do take it personally. You see what I mean? This is for everyone to take personally. This isn't something I concocted or that we use to beat people over the head when we don't like what they're saying. Me first. Have you noticed my job is mostly words? It really is. My job is words. If you're a teacher, a preacher, a counselor, guess what? Words. When I go to study, I read books full of words. When I consider the scriptures, I go to the words and then to the root words and then to the original words in Hebrew or in Greek. It's all about words. I need to be a wordsmith, if you will. And I so respect people who are eloquent with words. I admire them so much, those who can speak and express in words what they are trying to say, and they do it so well. And I admire them. I've met a few in my life that are just way ahead of everyone else, it just seems, and I could just listen to them and appreciate what they're saying for such a time. Such a long time. And I appreciate that so much. But I also respect and appreciate those who cannot. I know it's hard. It's not for everybody. And in fact, you could have just the best words. I am ready. I've got this. And I have practiced it. And I'm ready to speak it. And then you get in front of a crowd of 10 or 10,000. And then you can't speak, and suddenly your tongue doesn't work, and you're all ums and ahs, and you had this wonderful plan, and it didn't translate. You know, I've been there. At the beginning of my journey to being a pastor, I remember the first Sunday I preached, I was given the whole time to preach. In fact, my senior pastor, I thought, kind of threw me to the wolves. That's how I felt. He had to go away, and at last minute, he just said, "It's on you." And we were meeting in a school at that time, in a gymnasium, and there was all this work to do, and I was kind of more that guy. I was the guy to organize all the moving of chairs and doing this and that, doing that. And I was a doer. I was a crisis guy. I could do all that stuff. I could fix and do and you know, I could sweat and, yeah, no problem. But then he said, and you're preaching this Sunday. And wouldn't you know it, that Sunday was even worse because it was 800 degrees outside. It was one of those days, and it was in a school. And they said, you can't use the gym because we are redoing the floors. So you have to meet in this other room. And so we had to pack everything over there. We didn't have time. It was just a terrible time. And it was in a small room. So now we got like 80 people meeting in a small room. And so you got 80 furnaces in a small room. And I was cooking. I thought I was going to die. And I was preaching. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was absolutely sweat beads off. I sometimes I couldn't see the words. Okay, and then I'm preaching. I hope they thought I was crying. And they're just, oh, he's so moved by the word of God. Yes, that's what it is. But mostly they're going, I don't think he's called to ministry. I think he should go back to whatever he did before. But they were very gracious, and afterward they spoke kind words. But I knew. Oh my goodness. But they understood. This was my first go-round. This was indeed my first rodeo. And I certainly fell off and got trampled. That's how it was. That's how it was. But I mean, words, can we appreciate so much words and respect so much the power, the influence, the consequences of our words? Oh my goodness. I'm telling you. So I'm going to just quickly go through the Ten Commandments as far as we had gotten. You remember number one. Thou shalt not gossip. That's a good idea. We can all say amen to that. Thou shalt not gossip. And yes, have you heard? This is what I heard about so-and-so. Or did you know that? What do you do with gossip? I hope you just say, I'd rather not. I hope you say, let's stop right there and pray about it. Pray about that poor one. Or just turn it right around when they say, have you heard that they're breaking up, that so-and-so and she are what a mess. I hope your first thought is not, oh my, but instead, oh my, I got to go see her or him. I have to go see if I can help. We should pray right now. Let's hold hands and pray right now. Could you imagine somebody wanting to gossip? You go, no, let's just hold my hands. Let's pray together right now, shall we? That would be good. Let's do that. Thou shalt not gossip. Thou shalt not use a multitude of empty words. Oh my goodness. And that's maybe something I fear as I preach. A multitude of empty words. Does it take me 30 minutes to say something that should have taken me 10? I don't know. But that's something else. Thou shalt not use a multitude of empty words. I'd like to think the words I'm speaking to you are not empty, that they are filled with anointing, with preparation, with sincerity, with honesty, with transparency. I'd like to think those are the words that I have chosen to use. But be careful to not use a multitude of empty words. That's good. We get that. Thou shalt not boast. And then we had a Bible study in men's group about pride, you know, and that there is different sorts of pride, and some are good, you know, to be proud of what the church did last week, ministering to 90 children. Look what the Lord has done. And be proud of the people who served in that capacity, and be proud of the effects of that. And I'm even proud that we got this place back together afterward, quite honestly. I'm very, very pleased, if you will, that the church it looks like it's back, because it wasn't. I'll tell you what, Friday afternoon it looked like a multitude of bombs hit this place, and that was something else too. How's that? But there's that other kind of pride. Thou shalt not boast. Isn't that something? Thou shalt not boast. That was it. Thou shalt not flatter. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Yeah, I remember someone that was very good at flattering me. I liked it. Turns out he didn't like me much. It's interesting how that turned out. You just never know. That was a long time ago. Please don't try to figure out that's somebody you know. You don't know. And sometimes an example given is a compilation of different people. You know, it's not so-and-so. It was such a time. It was an experience. But so often people who are very flattering have a mission, have a subplot, if you will. Don't be like that. Thou shalt not grumble. Do all things, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How about this? When you complain, your light gets darker. When you grumble, it gets dimmer. Now, just reminds me, please don't see filling out the survey as a complaint. Please don't look at it that way. Don't go, oh, well, great, you just told me thou shalt not complain, and then you hand me a survey. No, that's different. Please understand. That is us inviting you to share honestly and openly so that we can improve. Okay? Enough said. Thou shalt not backbite or slander. And I think that was the last one we'd gotten to last time out. To backbite. Oh my goodness. That just sounds painful. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot the arrows. Bitter words, their arrows, bitter words. And a quote, and I expect this is an old and very, very true statement. The tongue that backbites or slanders is the weapon that empties churches, destroys friendships, pours streams of bickering humans into divorce courts, fills our jails with wretched humanity, and binds men and women in Satan's kingdom. 1 Peter says this, it's Peter saying, writing in 1 Peter, the letter in chapter 3, verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Yes. Proverbs 12, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. This week, again and again and again, I tried to speak words of life, words of encouragement, words of blessing into little children's hearts. And they were so hungry. Some, I wonder, how often do they hear those kind of words? Because we're so busy correcting and directing and sorting kids out. And we're all guilty of that. But I thought, going to try very hard to speak encouragement. And kids, they would just run to me and show me the thing they did. And I'd go, wow, that is so great. Because that is so great. And then another would just say, can I show you this thing I can do? And they'd do a terrible somersault. And I'd go, wow, that is exciting. Because it's so exciting. You know, I didn't say, well, that's the best somersault I've ever seen. I mean, I could say the best one I've seen today, perhaps. But I mean, it's okay. That is so exciting. Wow, you're so daring. That is so great. I enjoyed that. I mean, and kids would bring me pictures, and they'd write, I love church, and they spelt it all wrong. I loved it. And I posted it right here, and you know, for the rest of the day, so that everybody go, that little one go, see, that's what I did, and just out of the blue, and they're hungry. They're so hungry. We are, aren't we all kind of hungry for that? You know the truth. 10 negatives. Pardon me. No, I believe it goes like this: 10 positives can be undone by one negative. That's what they say. You can be told 10 things, very positive things. And the one negative can just like, oh. And you know what? You'll carry around that one negative, and you'll drop all the 10 positives, you know, the 10 positive words people say to you, but you'll just go, yeah, but look at the one thing, the one thing. The one thing is just, oh, the one thing. It's that one thing. And by all means, take to heart what people say and try to believe the best, that they weighed it out and they meant it in a best way and what have you. But at the same time, please hang on to the positives that people say to you. You know, I mean, bless one another. Jesus actually named two brothers the sons of encouragement. Wasn't that James and Andrew? I think it was. Andrew? I can't remember. Two brothers. They were the sons of encouragement. Huh. How about that? That's a pretty good name. They weren't the sons of criticism. They weren't the sons of condemnation. That wouldn't be a very good apostle name. Oh, here comes the son of a gun. You know, he's a real... you know what I'm saying? They were sons of encouragement. Of course, there was also the sons of thunder. You know, I don't know what that meant. But that's probably, Lord, do you want us to pray down thunder on them right now and lightning and, you know, and just no, you don't, you know, that's not what we're here to do. Whoa, hey, slow down. Yeah. Thou shalt not backbite or slander. Yeah, that's where we were. How about this? Thou shalt not mock or make fun. Here's about the empty talk again. Should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? Mocking words. Well, they're just mean. This isn't criticism anymore. This isn't words of construction, of help, of direction. I mean, to mock someone is just, it's just mean. Can we agree there? To make fun of one another. And sadly, so much humor today picks on somebody. Somebody has to be the target of your humor. You know, you just do a little study of those stand-up comedians and watch. They're picking on people. Terry, we went to a comedy show, the one and only time I'll ever go to a comedy show, and the comic picked on Terry and me. Now, I love Jesus, and that man got saved because I didn't go up there and straighten him out because he was just mean, and he picked on us. I mean, no, I can't laugh about it now. You know, it'll be funny later. No, actually, it wasn't. And he just, out of a crowd of, you know, 100 plus people, he just decided to pick Terry and me out of the audience and pick on us. So everybody's laughing except us. Isn't that how it is? Isn't that how it is? I mean, and at someone's expense, is it really good humor anymore? Not so much. So if we can't be funny and have fun without that, let my words be few. I'll just zip it. I have offended people many a time trying to be funny. And I am sorry for that. And I've done it to people in this room. And I am sorry for that. Yeah, the old saying, you know, you should be able to laugh at yourself. But that's laugh at yourself. It's not okay to laugh at, you know, somebody else's pain or peculiarities or whatever. So there you go. That's just, thou shalt not mock or make fun. Yeah? Yeah. Thou shalt not mock or make fun. The tongue will reveal what is in the heart. Change the heart and the words from the tongue will change also. Let us learn sympathy and give our fellows a helping hand instead of mockery, no matter how peculiar or odd they may be. Remember, angels visit the earth in all kinds of guises. That's a thought. Thou shalt not lie. Well, no kidding. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus 20:16. Because, get ready for this, liars are disqualified from heaven. That's what I read. But there shall be by no means there shall by no means enter it, heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A lie. I mean, those who speak lies, you're walking on the thinnest of thin ice. reading in Revelation 22, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates to the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. Well, yeah, but wait. And whoever loves and practices a lie. We got it up to there. But yes, sorcerers, I don't know any personally. Sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters. But whoever loves and practices a lie. Does practice make perfect? Can you become a perfect liar? Oh. A young man came to me the other day and said, could you please pray for me? I need to stop lying. I just lie so easily. It comes so naturally to me. I said, of course, I would love to pray with you. And we did. Good for him. But lying does come naturally. In our human fallen condition, lying is easy. There was a time I could lie as easy as breathe. But it needs to become so hard that you would choke on the words. I cannot. Thou shalt not lie. The first recorded lie was told in the Garden of Eden. Since then, the practice has spread like a plague through the whole earth. Everyone ought to hate a lying tongue. Number 9, thou shalt not swear. Cussing, cursing, crass talk. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, there's a lot to that, and yeah, we could go into that in great depth, but we're not now. But you get that. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. And yeah, but you can speak, thus saith the Lord, and it's not true, and that's terrible. But you can also just use the name of God in a very casual, way. Teenagers are terrible for that. It's one of those things, right? You see it, you hear it. OMG. Oh my goodness. Works perfectly well there. In fact, there was a rash of that OMG going on. I was in my office and I could hear a half a dozen teenage girls outside talking together, Andrew's office and that, and OMG, 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 the oh my God. So I walked in, I said, are you guys all praying in here? That's awesome. What are you praying about? I want to join you. And they're all just, what? Well, I just heard you saying, oh my God, and that, let's pray. Oh my God, help these girls. Just not say that anymore because it just bugs me so much, I said. And I said it partly in humor, but partly not. And I was careful. And you know, at the end of it, they apologized. And a couple of them just said, I never thought of it like that. And I just said, yeah, because I love God. And you do too. And that's a great way to start a prayer. But it's probably not a great way to describe, I don't know, your ex-boyfriend or to describe your new shoes or whatever it is, whatever you're talking about. So we went there, and it was good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Oh, that's nice. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness, it breaks the spirit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Paul says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Profanity is the official language of the devil's kingdom. Isn't that great? Profanity, I don't mean it's great that it is. I mean, isn't that a truth? Isn't that right? Profanity is the official language of the devil's kingdom. And when I hear the extreme edge of unsaved people out there cussing with every second and third word, I have to remind myself that is their native tongue. That is their language. They're not going to learn the new language of a kingdom they have no part of. If you want them to learn a new language, you need to first bring them into citizenship. Remember what we talked about last Sunday? Into citizenship. And then you will learn the language and the boundaries and the borders, and you will learn the culture, and you will learn of your king, and you will learn a new way. You will have a renewed mind. All things becoming new. Don't start with trying to teach them the new language, because you're just making better devils. But thou shalt not cuss and curse and speak crassly. Indeed, profanity is the language of the devil's kingdom. Have no part in it, for it will disqualify you from heaven. And number 10, thou shalt not argue in anger. You can argue. And you can be angry. But do not argue in anger. Really? Yeah. Be angry, but sin not. Yes. But here's the thing about arguing. Proverbs 25:15, again, this is wisdom. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks a bone. Yeah. Beautifully said. In Hosea, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongues. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. I mean, it's the tongue and anger and everything. It just destroys that give and take, that communication, that persuasion, that dialogue that brings about healing and edification and correction and change. But instead, a gentle answer. When you're in the middle of it, it's so hard to remember that. But a gentle answer. Practice that. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's true. The tongues of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. You know. Whatever the provocation, please do remember, silence is golden. So what do we conclude from these many words? My goodness, that's 2 weeks worth of preaching here. What do we conclude these many words have to say about so many words? I suggest we should ascribe to the timeless wisdom in Proverbs chapter 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And listen to the consequences of these words. They are eternal, not just present, but eternal. Matthew 12, 36, 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word we will be held accountable for. That's going to take some time. With this in mind, your prayer should be as that of the ancient psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Let the words of my mouth, and he knows where they come from, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Let's pray. Holy God, indeed, you are God of heaven, and here are we below. Indeed, our words ought to be few at times, and at times they should be silent as we meditate, as we open our hearts and our ears and cease from speaking. There's a time for that. There's a time for words. There's a time for the witness. There's a time to testify. There's a time for prayer. All of these things take words. The whole plan of bringing this word to salvation is through your word. And you are the word. And you have given us words to share through our testimony and our witness. And each one that is saved has been saved through words. Through the living word. Through you, Holy Jesus. And our only weapon is the word. Wow. God, that we would weigh our words carefully. And may they be pleasing in your hearing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just words for thought. Yes? Best thing we can do. The best thing we can do right now with our words is sing. Amen? Let's do that. Let's stand. Let's sing together. Number 278 in your hymnal.